Have you ever heard stories of World War II veterans? Not just World War II veterans, but D-Day veterans. They're 80, 90 years old, and they go back as a group to Normandy, Omaha Beach, on the western coast of France, and they look wistfully as a group out on a placid scene that was not so placid on June 6, 1944, when Hitler's Reich held in the balance and the Allies sought to get a foothold on the European coast and drive the Nazis back into Germany. Many of their comrades were lost on that day. And when they were going through it, these combat veterans who came off the boats stormed the shore while being strafed by German artillery. It was a horrifying day. It was a nightmare. Many of them are standing there still suffering from injuries from that day, 50 years ago or whenever, 55, 60 years ago. Why did they come back? If it was so terrible, why did they come back? You have to ask yourself this question. And I'm going to make a scriptural point, you can bet. Because it was a great testing ground. It was a place where they became men. It was a place that shaped their character. And that shaping, that trial, and coming through that trial affected them for the rest of their lives. And people have said that World War II was the last good war. In other words, it was the last war that was completely understandable, where there were black and white lines, there was a clear enemy and a clear resistance against that enemy who stormed the beaches that day of France and gained a foothold and saved the civilized world from a dictator. And they go back. And there's a bittersweet longing to see again from the safety of peace and tranquility, to look at it from afar and remember what happened there. And with the retrospective of 40, 50, 60 years, to appreciate what happened there and their part in it. And again, they're looking back at their lives from the time they're standing there reminiscing with all the crosses behind them of the many, many, many who died. And they have to, at that moment, take an account of their lives from June 6, 1944 to the present day and to see how they married, they had children, and now they have grandchildren, and they worked, they became productive citizens after the war. But their character was made at Normandy. That's what made men of them. That's what made them appreciate life. That's what made them take that sacrifice they made for their country and apply it to their family, to their job. And then they can have that license plate on their car that says World War II veteran. And that is a profound thing. I remember also recently Senator John McCain of Arizona went back for the first time since the Vietnam War, went back to his prison cell at the infamous Hanoi Hilton. That was a little joke that the prisoners had for the horrible prison they were kept in as prisoners in the Vietnam War. They were stored for 3 years in tiny cells, and they were tortured daily. McCain and his fellow prisoners. And they didn't think they would get out alive. They were starved. And like classic prisoners, they etched the days upon the stone walls of their cells. Some of them losing all hope of ever getting out again. Some didn't. Yet John McCain did. I think it was 4 years ago, he went back to the infamous prison, which still stands. But can you imagine the difference between being in that stinking cell in 1967 or whenever it was, fearing for your life, fearing every day that the guards are going to come in, drag you out, and beat you to within an inch of your life. And now he comes back as a senator, as a man of privilege, and he goes into the same cell. And I saw pictures of him. Look it up on the internet. He's touching the walls. Imagine the reminiscing, the remembering of what it was like to be a prisoner fearing for your life. And yet to return to it, almost bittersweet. Why did these men return? Why did the vets return? Why did McCain return? Because again, this field of conflict, this place of trial, turned them into men. Look what it did for McCain. The discipline that it took to maintain a sense of self when you're in solitary confinement for 2 years. The discipline required for that, it either makes you or break you, or breaks you. And for the survivors of D-Day and the prisoners of war in Vietnam and in Hanoi and other places, I will say this. I know it destroyed many people in the Vietnam War. Many soldiers came back not the same. They were wrecked. Maybe it depends on your perspective. I don't know. I've never been through that. What can I say about it? But I am going through something now. And so are you. And let me tell you what I think is going to happen with us. But these men, go back, men and women. I don't think there were any women at D-Day. Thank God. There were no women at the Hanoi Hilton either. They go back and they realize that it was a testing ground. It proved them and it made them better men. Now, ladies and gentlemen and fellow members of the body of Christ, we are currently going through our D-Day. We are currently going through our version of the Hanoi Hilton. We are currently, as I'm speaking to you, all of us are going through some terrible suffering. Maybe not as extreme as D-Day or being a POW of the Viet Cong, but everything's relative, isn't it? Yes, it is. Do you think we'll come back after we're glorified and delivered? I got an even better question. And I'm not even going to pose it as a question. I'm going to pose it as a statement of fact. Let me know what you think of this. When our Lord comes for us, and we rise in the air to meet Christ, and our bodies are in an instant transformed from mortal bodies to immortality, and as we rise with Christ, we suddenly apprehend the glory. We suddenly realize what it's all been about. We have a hint now. We have an earnest. and we know intellectually, but many of us don't feel it physically or emotionally. We feel it in our spirit, and we struggle every day to grasp it intellectually. But I'm telling you, as we rise with Christ and we taste the glory, and remember what Paul said about the glory. He said the current trials we are going through now, the present distress, does not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. Does not deserve it. It's not even worthy to be compared to it. And as I've often told you, I sometimes lament the fact that God shows us so little of the glory that we're coming into. And then it always dawns on me, He's showing us by a negative image. He's showing us this seemingly boundless evil. This evil that we put up with every day. And that the world puts up with every day. It just seems to be more, more, and more. And then there's that key verse, the Rosetta Stone verse, the translation. The current evil, current trials, the present distress isn't worthy to be compared to the glory. It's an aeonian weight of glory. The present trials that we're going through are working for us an aeonian burden of glory at our not noting what is being observed. Because what is being observed is temporary, but what is not being observed is aeonian. It's lasting. So then I realized God was showing me the glory by showing me the depth of the evil. And God says, if you see the evil, then you have a clue of how overwhelmingly weighty the glory is. Only in comparison to the evil. So I'm like, wow, if the evil is this unwieldy and overwhelming, then the glory must be. God goes, yeah, yeah. Now you're getting it, sender. So picture it. We're rising to meet Christ in the air. And finally, this glory that we've only imagined starts to overwhelm us. And we realize more than ever, it's so obvious then, the contrast principle. And we realize then, as we're leaving this field, this stage, this prison, this beach of our conflict, I predict to you, and I'm going to give you a little wink as we rise to meet the Lord, and you're going to say, you talked about this. We are going to have a bittersweet love for this place, this earth, because we're going to realize in an instant why it all had to happen. It will seem so obvious then, as the glory starts to accumulate on our bodies, on our heads, and our spirits. And we'll look back at the old earth, and it will seem really, really valuable to us. The D-Day veterans took them 50 years to get back. Took McCain 40, 50 years to get back. I predict that while we're still in the air, rising to meet Christ, it'll already dawn on us, even before we break through to the celestial realm. And we'll look back at this old, decrepit planet, this old, decrepit cell, this blood-stained beach, and there will be a certain fondness for it then in our hearts. And we'll realize how important every single trial we went through was, how vital it was, and how it made us men and women of God. It made us. The trials you're going through now, they're making you. And we know it intellectually, sometimes only barely. But then we will know it for sure. And with a little wistfulness, with a little pang, with a little bittersweetness in our heart, we'll look back at this old earth and say, thank you. Thank you, little planet. Because apart from what I went through there, I would never understand what I'm going through now as I rise to meet the Lord. Now, if this is true, and I believe it will be true, and I'm going to wink at you when it happens, you'll remember, and I'll remember, then what if we could think of that now? What if we can apply that soon, not too far in the distant future, truth? Somehow, could that make this life and this day and this hour for you easier to bear when you realize that possibly 5 minutes from now, you're actually going to look back at it with wistfulness, like those men looking out at the beaches? Ah, remember when? Remember when? It was horrible while it was happening. Thought we'd never get out of it. The Germans were shooting at us, or the Viet Cong were hanging us by our wrists and beating us. Never thought we'd get out of it. And yet we did. And it made us. And we're going to have an appreciation then that perhaps we could even tap into now.